I think the best way I know of covering Romans 6:15 to 7:6 is to give you the background of, or at least some of the things that are in my heart, and then put it into the form in which I think it's possible to put it. According to Romans 6, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The thing I wrote today was the wages of the law is sin, which is death. And in contrast to it, the gift of grace is life. The wages of the law is sin. The gift of grace is life, just the opposite, which is eternal. The law of Moses, class, and all legalism that people endeavor to put upon us are both laws. The laws of Moses and legalism are both laws. The absolute freedom of every believer from all legalism in any form is due to the reality of Christ dying for us, and we died with him. Complete fulfillment of all law by God's grace. Now, according to Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns in life through the righteousness of Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us, that we might by grace have the righteousness of God, which is grace, and of course, which is life. And core, that's something that no law can give. No individual outside of Christ, no denomination, nobody can give. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 21, is the law then against the promise of God? God what? Forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by believing of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. In chapter 2 and in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain, or Christ died in vain. Chapter 2, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto whom? God. It's tremendous. Take a look at Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that does one thing, what? Believeth. One cannot be under a law which no longer is in existence. You just cannot be under a law that has terminated, which is no longer in existence. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by what? Then it is no more of what? Works. Otherwise, grace is no more what? But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Very few people who have ever believed this at any time in the history of Christendom, but the logic of it and the truth of it, core, is just so simple and so fantastic. You cannot be under a law if there is no longer a law which exists. Now, I made the following notes, which I think you might appreciate putting in your note. On the left-hand side, you have law. On one side, you have law. On the right-hand side, you have grace, just parallel. Underneath it, under the law, you have wages. If you want to put in parentheses the old usage of it, it's the word rations, R-A-T-I-O-N-S. Wages on one side. On the right-hand side, you have gift. On the left-hand side, under the old covenant, Under law, wages, you have death. On the right-hand side, you have life. There is one word that describes the old covenant, so to speak, in the old period of time before the coming of Christ is the word do, D-O, which would be on the left side. So under the law, you have wages, death, and do. On the right-hand side, you have the word done, D-O-N-E. The word wages means the fruit, and the fruit of sin core is death. In Romans 5, it says in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin has reigned, past tense. The word reigns means had dominion unto death, Adam and the law. And that means that the wages of sin in 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The fruit of sin is death. Sin hath reigned unto death, Adam and the law, which equals the wages of sin of 6:23. That's death. Even so, in opposition class, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by way of Jesus Christ, our what? Freedom from sin and service to the true God of love go hand in hand, people. We're born to live. We are born again to serve. Keep your fingers in Romans and go to Galatians. Chapter 5, 13. For brethren, you have been called unto what? Liberty. You have been called under liberty. That's freedom. See, we're born again, free to serve. You will always be under some master, people. Every individual in the world is under some master. Man is always under some master. Israel in Egypt was under the mastership of the Egyptians. Israel, after they had crossed the Red Sea, were still under a master. It's simply a change of masters. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, and the word Lord is Jehovah in relationship to his people. Exodus 8, 1, you really need to see it, because one of the great keys of truth is right here. Thus saith the Lord, let my people, what? They have been servants to Pharaoh, to Egypt. Here he says, let my people go, that they may, what? Serve me. See, it's just a change, that's all. It's a change of masters. In Ephesians chapter 2, latter part of the verse, and were by nature the children of what? Wrath. Children of wrath. Remember that now and watch the change of masters. Go to 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? And be in health, even as thy what? Simply a change of what? And in 1 John 3, 2. He wishes us to prosper and be in good health. Why? We are the sons of what? Don't you see it? It's just a change of what? Masters. Children of wrath had a different master. Sons of God have a different master. When the slave was sold to God, all he did was change what? Masters. We are born again believers, core. We have changed masters because we are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a what? Price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You're bought with a price. You have changed what? Masters. See it? In 7, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the doulos of what? You've simply changed masters. Everybody is always, sir, on her master. Romans 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants or doulos to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? His servants ye are who ye do one thing, what? Obedience, believing, describes who you serve. 6:17, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Obeyed from the heart, not just the head. Christianity is not a head trip. It's an innermost part of your being trip. It's a heart trip. You've obeyed from the heart, not just the head, or not just because of fear. The fear of damnation and all that junk is out. You don't obey from fear. You don't obey from your head. You obey from what? The heart. We as believers are to be molded. And the word molded means to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Obedience, our walk, our believing indicates clearly the mold we are fashioning because of the master we are following. Adam was not forced to disobey. Neither are we in the second Adam forced to obey. There is no compulsion or coercion. In chapter 6, in verse 19, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness. If you yield the wrong way, you have what chapter 7, verse 5 says. Bringing forth fruit unto what? Death. If you yield the wrong way, you'll have fruit unto death in your life. But in chapter 6, 22, you have fruit unto what? Holiness. It all depends on who you make your master. In 7, 5, it's fruit unto death. In 6, 22, it's fruit unto God. As I see the book of Romans, there are four basic desires that keep popping up. One is worldly desires. Another is fleshly desires. A third is ungodly desires. And a fourth, good desires. The great truth that chapter 7 reveals is that death breaks all the bonds, all, without exception, the bonds of the law. Now we want to begin in translation in Romans 6, 15, and I'll give you this to the best of my ability and share that with you. Through the years, I've tried to read everything that so-called great theologians and men have written on Romans, like Bishop Mole and Calvin, Luther, and they were wonderful men. But I've worked so hard in the book of Romans because I'm absolutely convinced if you get Romans right, you'll be able to get blessed in a lot of the greatness of God's word. In order to do Romans, of course, you have to know Galatians, because that corrects the doctrinal error. And you'll have to know Ephesians, because that is the magna cum laude of it. But I just want Romans to live for the core. If you just stay faithful, if you ever make a commitment, you just stay faithful on God's word and work this, you can do far better than I've been able to do. And I could cry about it, but crying won't settle anything. And I was thinking early this morning, I think I even woke up Mrs. Wirwell and told her that a man of 80 years, what wouldn't he give to be a boy again? Yeah, I guess. I guess I feel sort of sorry for our country and world, because really what I'm sharing with you has been in the Word all this time. But somehow or other, nobody's ever taught us and we just didn't see it. And as I look at the word again, it's so simple to me at times that the simplicity makes it real complex in so many ways because of the various facets that are involved. But I'm going to give you Romans 6:15 and following, not a literal translation according to usage. And some of you are just going to have to put it together, because it'll just fit like a hand in a glove for you. Verse 15, chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin? Literally, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace, caritas? God what? And this is, God forbid, let it never even be mentioned. Let it not be said. Verse 16. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves? Others give the word as present. I understand the word present, but I think the word yield is still a very great word. To yield yourself is greater in my mind of understanding than present. Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves? I understand this like the slave presented himself to the God in the temple. But in the depth of my heart, it's more than presenting. It's yielding yourself to him. Just unreservedly, just yielding yourself. Giving yourself to him and saying, look, I not only present myself, but I give myself to you. I am yours to bless and to be blessed. I don't know if you understand it, but kids, that's it. Servants, to obey. Servants is the word, doulos, as servants, unto obedience. It's not just yielding yourself, servants, to obey. It's to yield yourself as slaves, unto obedience. His servants ye are, to whom you do what? Obey. And the word whether is the Greek word spelled E-T-O-I, etoi, long E, and that is an emphatic word. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, and righteousness is right conduct, morally right in the sight of God. One master or the other, class. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve what? For either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise it. You cannot serve God and what? And there it is. You cannot serve God and what? No two masters. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked. Thanked is the word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, grace. A better translation or a simpler one in my mind is thanks be to God. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. The word whereas has to fit in there. That whereas you were past tense, whereas you were the servants, the douloses of sin, you were past tense, douloses of sin, it's over with, but ye obeyed from the heart. From the heart, by free will and an in-depth personal commitment. That form, form is the Greek word to post, to U-P-O-S, transliterated into the word type, T-Y-P-E. The word type is a mold. You've obeyed from the heart by your free will, by your in-depth commitment, that form, that mold of doctrine which was delivered unto you. The word form is very significant. When they cast certain pieces of material for a refrigerator or a stove or an automobile, they have a what? Form, a mold. A tupos, a type, that's the word form. Ye obeyed from the heart that mold, that form, that form. And people, the form is cut, it's made. Whenever you put yourself by the freedom of your will and your commitment into that form of teaching, the word doctrine is the word teaching. The Greek word is spelled D-I-D-A-C-H-E, long E. Our English word in education, didactic, comes from it. The Greek word, which was delivered unto you. Literally, it is translated, unto which you were delivered. Not which was delivered unto you. By the free will and in-depth commitment, obeyed from the heart, that mold, that mold, that mold, unto which you were what? Delivered. You were delivered unto it in Christ Jesus. He took you there and put you in that mold. In my mind core, the contrast in this verse expresses the absolute incompatibility of the license to sin on the part of a believer. To my mind, it's absolutely incompatible. There is the freedom to sin, yes, but not the license to what? For you have been bought with a what? That's right. Unto which you were delivered. The mold unto which you were delivered. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin. Literally, being freed. Being freed from sin. You were made. Ye became the servants. You were made bond slaves of righteousness. That, I believe, is a literal, according to usage, accurately. Being freed from sin, you were made bond slaves, douloses, bond slaves of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men, perhaps in relationship to the Gentiles, because of the infirmity of your flesh. Infirmity is the Greek word, asthenia, A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A, which means weakness, because of the infirmity, the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded, presented your members, yourself, servants, douloses, to uncleanness. Uncleanness is impurity. The Greek word is akatharsia, cathartic, which means a cleansing. If you take a cathartic, it cleanses you. A-K-A-T-H-A-R-S-I-A is the opposite. It's not a catharsis. It's the opposite of it. It's uncleanness. It's impurity. Ye have yielded your members, servants, to impurity and to iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. Unto is the word eis, E-I-S, unto iniquity. Members, servants, to impurity and to lawlessness, with the result or the effect of a course of lawlessness. To iniquity, unto iniquity. It's sort of a heavy thing English-wise. But it literally means with the result or effect of a course of lawlessness. Yielded your members, servants, to impurity and to lawlessness with the result or the effect that you have laid out a real course for yourself of lawlessness. Even so now. And those words, even so now, are just fantastic. Even so now, yield, present your members, yourself, your body, servants, as douloses, to righteousness, unto holiness. The word holiness is the word hagiasmos, H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S. And this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, 29 says, no flesh should glory in his what? But of him, in verse 30, are ye in whom? Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. And righteousness and sanctification and what? Redemption. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you to salvation through or by way of sanctification, holiness of the Spirit, and belief of what? God chose you, douloses, to righteousness, unto whom? Holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect. 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, hagiosmos, holiness of the Spirit. There are no degrees of holiness, but core, there is a continued growth, a progress therein in the senses world. When you walk in the light as he is the light, he has made you holy, but you walk in it. You walk in it, and there is a growth. Romans 6:20. For when, or at the time, when you were the douloses of sin, you were free from righteousness. You were without righteousness. You were free in regards to or with righteousness. You didn't have it. Verse 21. What fruit, good results, had you then in those things whereof at that time, in the things whereof? The whereof is the Greek preposition epi, epi. In respect of which you are now ashamed, for the end, the telos, the end of those things is what? Death. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants, douloses, to God, you have your fruit, the good results, the results unto holiness. This is again in the Greek word hagiosmos, sanctification, fruit unto holiness, sanctification. And the end, the telos, everlasting life. This word everlasting is the Greek word aionios, A-I-O-N-I-O-S. A-I-O-N-I-O-S, first O is a long O, and it comes off of the noun ion, A-I, long O-N, which is translated age, in the plural ages. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal, eternal, it's aionios, throughout all ages, in the what? Heavens. The same great truth is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? That is eternal life, everlasting life. 23. For the wages of sin is death. The word wages is the Greek word opsonion, O-P-S, long O-N-I-O-N. Which means wages, rations. Because the Roman soldiers were paid off in food, that's why that word, opsonion, means rations, but it's translated wages. You understand? For the wages of sin is death. Sin's just wages are death, in contrast. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word through is not right. It's the Greek word en, meaning in. The text reads Christ Jesus, and it's right. The wages, the rations of sin, or sin's just wages, are death. That's what we deserve. But in contrast, the gift of God, the charisma of God, it's in the genitive case class. Gift of God, putting the emphasis on God who gave the gift, His Son, Jesus Christ. God's gift, God's gift is eternal life, not death, but what? In Christ Jesus. In what He did, people. In what He did. When He died, we died with Him. When He was baptized, we were baptized. You understand? It's in who? Boy, oh boy, you've got to see that. Who is our Lord, our Master. Every man has a master. We have changed masters because we're born again. The wages, the rations, what we deserve is what? Death. No man deserves eternal life. No man deserves even having one prayer answered, people. But God's gift is eternal life in his only begotten Son, in what Christ Jesus did for us. Christ Jesus, who is our what? Thou confess with thy mouth Jesus as what? And when you made him Lord, remember, you prove it by doing what? Man, oh man, does that ever fit? What a tremendous reality. Chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren? Literally, are you ignorant, brethren? And this has to be taken in connection with chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under what? And in chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not? Are you ignorant of? As many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death. You have to take verse 1 of chapter 7 in connection with 6:14 and 6:3. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them, parentheses, I speak to them that know law, that thee is canceled. The word law is the word nomos, N-O-M-O-S, used 190 times, I believe, in the epistles. I know that it's used 23 times in this chapter alone. The law, or law. How that the law hath dominion over a man, over the man. And the word man is anthropos, A-N-T-H-R-O, long O, P-O-S. And that word anthropos may mean, it does mean man or woman. Law hath dominion, rulership, reigning over man and woman, as long, for so long a time as he liveth. Uses the law of marriage here. Verse 2. See, previously in chapter 6, dealing with Gentiles, now with so-called Jews, Israel, uses the law of marriage. For the woman, verse 2, for the woman which hath an husband, which hath a husband, is the Greek word, hupandros, H-U-P-A-N-D-R-O-S, which literally means under a man. For the woman which is under a man. Perhaps you'd understand it better if it were translated subject to a man, who is her husband, is bound by the law. This phrase now, to her husband, so long as he liveth, translated is, to the living husband while living. In contrast, but if the husband, her husband, be dead, literally should have died, but if her husband should have died, she is loosed. Some of the translators translate that word freed. That is not right. The Greek word for loosed is spelled K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O. Katargeko, K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O. In chapter 7, in verse 6, it is the word translated delivered. in chapter 6, verse 6, it is the word destroyed. She is loosed. I understand that word loosed. Some of the translators translated discharged, D-I-S. She has been discharged from the law of her husband. This Greek word literally means and should be known as rendering sin inoperative. The real true Greek word for freed is spelled E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O-O. Last O is long. Eleuthero. That is the word that it should be and is translated free or freed or freedom. That Greek word presupposes a complete nullifying of what caused the original bondage. That's why this other Greek word, katargeko, K-A-T-A-R-G-E long O, should never be translated freed. As I showed you, it's translated loosed, it's translated delivered, it's translated destroyed. Loosed here in 7:2, delivered in 7:6, destroyed in 6:6. Same word. She has been delivered. She's been destroyed. Loosed from the law of her husband. Loosed from the law concerning the husband. Verse 3. So then, if while her or the husband liveth, she be married to another. Married. Married is to become for. She be joined. Become for another man. She shall be called an adulteress. The word called is the word spelled C-H-R-E, long E, M-A-T-I-Z-O, long O, which literally means because she takes on another man's name, she shall be called, because she takes on another man's name, an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, literally, if her husband die, she is free. And here is that word free, from the law, so that she is, so that she may be not an adulteress. No adulteress, not an adulteress. Though she be married, joined to another, become for another man. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead. Literally, were made or were put to death. My brethren, you were made or you were put to death. The word dead is the word thanato, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-O. Last O is long. You were made dead or were put to death to the law by the body of Christ. You were made dead or you were put to death. You became dead to law by. The word by is the word through. By means of the body. The word body means crucified body. The death of Christ. His crucifixion, Gore. Boy, what a tremendous truth. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also were made, you were put to death to the law through, by means of, the death, the crucified body of Christ. When he died, we died with him. When he was circumcised, we were circumcised with him. When he arose, we arose with him. When he ascended, we ascended with him. When he was seated, we were seated with him. Boy, oh boy, what a revelation. That is to the end that, to the end, that you should be married, joined to another. Literally, that we should become for another, even to him who was, is the word was, raised from the dead, was raised from the dead. From the dead is the word, are the words ek, eek, out from, nekron, n-e-k-r, long o-n, off of which we get our English word necrology and all of that, meaning dead. He was raised out from among the dead. That is the Greek word hina, h-i-n-a, in order that we should, or literally we may bring fruit, the good results, unto or to God. Boy, oh boy, isn't that something? Dead to the law through the crucified body of Christ, that we may bring forth fruit, good results unto God, through him who is raised from the dead. You see why the resurrection becomes the great fulcrum of Christianity? Not his death, but the resurrection. For all men what? Die. All men die. But only one has been resurrected, and that God only begotten. Boy, that's why Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is what? And believe that God hath what? Raised him. There's 7:4 tells you this. Resurrection class is the proof of it all. For with the resurrection, you can confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And when you have that Christ in you, you manifest it like Acts 2:4, by speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the external manifestation of the internal reality and presence of Christ in you, the hope of glory, because God raised him from the dead. That's Romans, people. Boy. Gave up one that we should become for another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Bring forth fruit unto God. Bring forth fruit to God. Fruit to God. There are three different things in this whole section. First, you have the husband and wife illustration, of which the husband represents the law and the wife our old self. Then you have the death of the first husband. And in contrast, you have the death of our former self in Christ. When he died, we died with him. And thirdly, you have the wife and the second husband, which is the believer in Christ. Chapter 7, verse 5. 4. When we were in the flesh, the Greek word is sarx, for when we were in the flesh, it's like saying when we were under the law, the motions of sins. Motions is passions. The Greek word is pathema. P-A-T-H, long E-M-A. P-A-T-H, long E-M-A. That word, pathema, is usually translated sufferings or afflictions. For when we were in the flesh, when like we were under the law, the motions of sins, the sufferings of sins, the afflictions of sins. I don't think that that's a good translation. I think passions, perhaps even the word desires. I don't think the word desire is strong enough. I think passions is fantastic. The passions of sin, which were by the law, which were called out, brought forth, produced because of the law. In other words, the passions of sins which were in the flesh. The reason I understand this and I think the word passions, Cor, is so fantastic, and I would translate it, the passions of sins which were by the law called out, produced because of the law, or the passions of sins which were in the flesh produced because of the law, did work, wrought in our members. To is ace, E-I-S. Unto, brought forth fruit, results, issuing in what? Death, unto death. The reason I like passions, and I think that word is so fantastically accurate of this translation of the word motions of sins. Motions don't make any dumb sense to you, and you know it don't. But passion does, because passions reach a point of no return. From a sexual point of view, you get yourself to that certain place of passion, it reaches a point of no return. Taught you this in the Christian family and sex. You reach that certain point in passion, you have an ejaculation, there's no hell or heaven to stop it. It just happens. That's this word. Passions. It reaches the point of no return. The law did work in our members. Passions of sins, which were by the law. The law, the old covenant, that old law in the flesh wrought works in our members. Just like passions reach a point of no return. Kids, it's like I've taught you. If a clergyman preaches on sin, what's his congregation going to do? You keep telling people that they're all sinners, that they're no good, what are they going to produce? Sin and no goodness. That's right. Boy, I understand the verse. I don't know if I can teach it to you, but I sure understand it. Doing my best to teach it to you, bless your heart. I think it's Bullinger that'll give you that. I'm not sure if Bullinger on this word, pathema, whether he does it passions or not. Do any of you have, does he do it passion? Physical? Sinful passion. Sure, because it's passions after the law. I understand that. That's okay, that's great, that's wonderful. Does he tell you it's usually translated sufferings, afflictions generally? Sufferings has to be the consequence. Afflictions have to be the consequence. Like in sex, the passions would reach the point of no return, which would be an ejaculation. The consequence would be the baby. That'd be the sufferings and the afflictions. That ought to communicate, huh? And that brings forth the results unto what? Death. Boy, the law was really something, wasn't it? But kids, when you're honest, and you just think of the laws that were set on you, the greatest joy you always had is kick against them. Try to break them. You know, whenever somebody will just put something on you, human nature is to do what with it? But if somebody loves you big enough, loves you big enough, love is not a law in the sense of being negative. It's just having respect for you and an inner heart feeling of your greatness. You know your natural tendency will even be to live up to it. The opposite will be to break it. If your mother and father believed in your integrity, you would do your utmost to keep that integrity secure for them. Even though at times you may have blown it, you may have gotten tricked, but when you did, you felt like a heel and you know it. Because if your daddy and mommy really loved you and you loved them and you were tender with each other and you talked things over, you did your best to live up to their expectation. Verse 6. But now, in contrast, we are delivered. Christ is the end of what? The word delivered is again that word I gave you previously. K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O. Katarekeko. Discharged. I said, I do not believe the word discharged is strong enough. I like the word delivered. Because this word delivered from the law, it is the believer in Christ who died to it. That's the accuracy of it. The law still was there, but the believer in Christ who died to it, that's what it says, delivered from the law, that being dead, having died to that wherein, in which we were held, is the text, not the King James. That being dead wherein we were held. No. Having died to that in which we were held, wherein, in which we were held, that is so that we should serve. And here it's a change from marriage, husband and wife, from marriage to service. Born to live, born again to what? Serve. There it is. That we should, that we may serve. You have freedom of will. Serve in what? Newness of spirit. Not because the law said you had to, but because you died in Christ, you were resurrected in him, therefore you now may serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness. Oldness is the Greek word, P-A-L-A-I-O-T, long E-S, which means not in the old man, in the old mind, but you serve in the new man, in the new mind, putting on the mind of Christ. Not in the old man, not in the old law of the letter. And the word letter is gramma, G-R-A-M-M-A, which we get our English word grammar. Letter. Not in the oldness of the letter. Boy, where is that in the Gospels where Jesus said, you tithe your mint, your anise, all of that, cumin? Matthew 23:23, stand up and read it. Right. They were called, what did he call them? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. We do not serve in the oldness. The old man of the letter, they in the law had passions of sins. Passions of sins. You see, God, it got so devilish that if you just didn't give the right weight, you felt condemned. That's what she just read. They were so straitjacketed that if they just didn't, then they were condemned. But he said, you've omitted the weightier matters. The weightier matters, the greater things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to verse 3. For as much as ye were manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ. You're read by people. You manifest Christ, ministered. Diakoneko, D-I-A-K-O-N-E-O, ministered by us. Written not with ink, which is a reference to the Old Testament law, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. 10 commandments Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, but in fleshly tables of what? Verse 6, who also hath made us, has made us, he made us able ministers of a new covenant, not of what? The letter. Not of the oldness of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law, the letter of the law, the passions of sins, which were by the law, the letter of the law does what? Killeth. And class core, it does that tonight. The letter of the law will always make you less than what you really are in Christ Jesus. And if you're sold out to God, you dare never allow anybody to put you under any form of legalism. For the law is legalism, and all legalism is law. You are to live by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. What a tremendous greatness God reveals in his book of Romans. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Life. Galatians chapter 2. And with this, we conclude this great section of the book of Romans. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I was crucified with whom? Nevertheless, I what? Right now, I'm living. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in the senses category, I now live in the faith, in the believing, and in the believing of the Son of God, who loved me and who what? Gave himself for me. That's it.